in order to convey to mankind such knowledge which gives them a clear and intelligible conviction of the working of God in His justice and love, I have written the work in the light of truth, which leaves no gap, contains the answer to every question, and clearly shows to mankind how wonderful are the ways in creation that are upheld by many servants of His will. But God alone is holy. Words of Abrushin, author of the Grail Message. Good evening and welcome of life, a deep and incisive program based on the work In the Light of Truth, the Grail Message. The Grail Message is a new spiritual revelation of the truth given to mankind by the author Abrushin. It explains the will of God, which manifests as the adamantine and incorruptible laws of creation. This message does not bring a new religion, and is intended as a torch to guide all serious seekers to the light and their longed-for height, which is paradise. It is addressed to honest seekers only, for only such shall find. I am Dr. Tunde Agboola. A reading from the Grail Message is now brought to you. The author of the Grail Message says, and I quote, "Death. There is one thing in which all men believe without exception. It is death. Everyone is convinced that it will come. It is one of the few facts about which there is no dispute or ignorance. Although everybody from childhood onward reckons with the fact that they must eventually die, yet the majority always try to ward off the thought. Many people indeed are even irritated if the subject is broached in their presence. Others again carefully avoid cemeteries and funerals. And if by chance they meet a funeral procession in the street, they seek to efface every impression as soon as possible. They are always oppressed at such moments by a secret fear that death may one day suddenly surprise them. An indefinable horror prevents them from seriously grappling with this irrefutable fact. There is hardly another event that is so inevitable and yet so constantly pushed aside in their thoughts as death, and also hardly so important an event in life on earth, except for birth. It is a striking fact that man wishes to concern himself so little with just with the beginning and the end of his earthly existence, whereas to all other events, even quite trivial matters, he tries to ascribe a deep significance. He examines and ponders over all the intermediate happenings, much more than upon that which would enlighten him on the beginning and the end of his life on earth. Indeed, death and birth are so closely linked because one is the result of the other. In the first place, how little serious thought is given to the act of procreation. Only in very rare cases is there anything to be found worthy of the dignity of a human being. Just in this matter, man cheerfully places himself on a level with the animal, yet without being able to preserve its innocence. This indeed puts him below the animal, which acts according to the level it occupies in creation. Man, however, cannot or will not keep to the level that befits him, but descends to a lower one, and then wonders why the whole of humanity gradually deteriorates in various respects. To start with, all the customs at weddings are so designed as to make marriage appear merely an earthly affair. It even goes so far, in many cases, that more serious-minded people would like to turn away in disgust from the suggestive details which hint at nothing more than earthly intercourse. Wedding festivities have in many cases degenerated into absolute matchmaking orgies, which parents, conscious of their great responsibility, should strictly forbid their children to attend. However, youths and young women who do not themselves feel disgust at the customs and insinuations during such festivities, and who, although responsible for their own actions, still do not stay away, may already be counted as belonging to the same base level, and can thus be left out of all consideration. It appears as if, even in this matter, people were trying, through a drunken reverie, to deceive themselves over something they do not want to think about. If, then, life on earth is built up on such a frivolous foundation, as has indeed already become customary, one can understand that man also tries to deceive himself about death by striving desperately not to think of it. This pushing aside of all serious thoughts is closely connected with his own base attitude during the act of procreation. The indefinable fear which accompanies man like a shadow during his whole life on earth largely originates in the fact that he is fully aware of all that is wrong in his frivolous and unworthy actions. And if he cannot get peace any other way, as a last result, he artificially and frantically clings to the delusion that either death is the end of all things, whereby he consciously acknowledges his inferiority and cowardice at possibly being called to account, or to the hope that he is not much worse than others. But all these illusions do not alter the fact in the slightest degree that early death is approaching, coming nearer day by day. How pitiful it so often appears when the majority of those who so rigidly tried to deny any responsibility in a life after death begin in their last hours fearfully to ask the great questions, thus proving they have suddenly become confused about their own convictions. But their questioning is of little avail then, for again, it is only cowardice which, shortly before the great step out of this earth life, suddenly conjures up the possibility of a continuation of life and of being called to account therein. However, anxiety, fear, and cowardice can no more diminish or redeem the unconditional reaction arising from every deed than can stubbornness. A real acceptance, thus a coming to recognition, cannot be attained in this way. Prompted by fear, their intellectual cunning, which often enough proved trustworthy during their hard life, plays a mean trick on dying people during their last hours by inducing them, out of ordinary prudence, suddenly to become outwardly pious. This at the moment when the severing of the ethereal man, who continues living, from the physical body has so far advanced that during this process of separating, the intuitive life has become equal in strength to the intellect, which until then had forcibly subjugated it. But they gain nothing from this. They will reap what they sowed through their thoughts and deeds during their life on earth. Nothing has been improved or changed in the slightest degree. They will be irresistibly drawn into the network of the strictly operating laws of reciprocal action, so as to experience in the ethereal world all the errors they perpetrated in thought and deed as a result of wrong convictions. Such people have every reason to dread the hour when they must leave their physical bodies, which for a time offered protection against many ethereal happenings. This protection was given to them as a shield and a cover, so that behind it they could have changed for the better in undisturbed peace, and even completely redeemed many a thing which would otherwise have hit them severely. It is doubly sad, yes, even tenfold so, for those who spend this time of mercy, which every earth life represents, in frivolous deception, as if it were a drunken revel. Many there are who have every reason for alarm and apprehension. The case is quite different with those who have not wasted their existence on earth, but who, although at a late hour, yet still in time, and not impelled by fear and anxiety, have set out on the road to spiritual ascent. They will take their serious seeking over with them as a staff and support in the ethereal world. Without fear and anxiety, they can venture to take the step from the gross material world into the ethereal world, which is inevitable for everyone, because all that is transient, such as the physical body, sooner or later perish again. They may welcome the hour of this release, for it means definite progress for them, no matter what they have to experience in the ethereal life. Their good experiences will then bring them happiness, and the evil ones will be made surprisingly easy, for their good volition will help them in this far more powerfully than they ever dreamed. The process of dying in itself is nothing but birth into the ethereal world, similar to the process of birth into the gross material world. After the separation, the ethereal body remains attached to the physical body for a time, as if with a navel cord. The higher the soul now born into the ethereal world has already developed itself towards this eternal world during its life on earth, the looser this cord will become. The more a man's volition has chained him to this earth, that is, to gross matter, indicating thereby a refusal to acknowledge any continuation of life in the ethereal world, the more firmly will this volition bind him with this cord to his physical body, and consequently also bind the ethereal body, which he needs as a garment for his spirit in the ethereal world. The denser his ethereal body is, the heavier it becomes according to the prevailing laws, and the darker it must appear. Such great resemblance and close relation to matter makes it very hard for the ethereal body to detach itself from the physical body, so that it happens in such cases that it must still undergo and feel the last physical pains, as well as the whole process of decay. Neither does it remain insensible with cremation. After the final severance of this connecting cord, the ethereal body sinks to that level in the ethereal world where its surroundings are of corresponding density and width. There, in this environment of equal width, it will find only those of similar tendencies. It is understandable that conditions there are worse than when on earth in a physical body, because in the ethereal world, all intuitions express themselves in full force and without restraint. It is different with those people who, during their life on earth, have begun to strive for all that is noble, because they bear within themselves a living conviction about the step into the ethereal world. The severance is much easier. The ethereal body of such a person and its connecting cord are not dense. Their texture is alien to that of the physical body, and this permit the severance to be very quickly effected. Thus, during the entire so-called death struggle, or the last muscular twitchings of the physical body, the ethereal body is already standing beside the latter, if indeed one can speak of a death struggle at the normal death of such a person. The loose and slender condition of the connecting cord prevents the ethereal being standing beside the body from feeling any pain, because being so frail and light in substance, this cord cannot transmit the physical body to the ethereal body. Owing to its finer nature, such a strand severs the connection much more quickly, setting the ethereal body completely free in a shorter space of time to soar to that region which consists of this finer and lighter substance. There, it can find only kindred souls and gain peace and happiness through the increasingly high quality of the intuitive life. Such a light and less dense ethereal body naturally appears brighter and more luminous, until finally it becomes so transparent that the inner spiritual core begins to break through radiantly before it enters the spiritual realm as a completely luminous, radiant spirit. Those, however, who are present at a death bed should take warning not to break out into loud lamentations. When the grief at parting is too strongly expressed, the person in the process of detaching himself, or who is perhaps already standing beside his body in ethereal form, may hear or feel it and be emotionally disturbed by it. If then pity awakens in him, together with the wish to say a few words of consolation. This again binds him more strongly to his physical body, through the desire to make himself understood by the grief-stricken mourners. He can make himself understood on earth only by the use of his brain. This effort, however, makes for a closer connection with the physical body, and indeed, this is a necessary condition. The result is that not only does an ethereal body, still in the process of detaching itself, reunite itself more closely to the physical body, but if it is already standing detached beside the physical body, it will be drawn back into it once more. The final result is that it will once again feel all the pains from which he had already been delivered. When the process of detachment is renewed, as it is much more difficult and may even last for some days, this brings about the so-called prolonged death struggle, which becomes really painful and difficult for the soul wanting to depart. The blame lies with those who, through their selfish grief, have called it back upon it from its natural course of development. Through this interruption of the normal course, be it only through the weak attempt at concentrating on making itself understood, a new and forced connection has taken place. To dissolve this unnatural connection again is not so easy for one who is completely inexperienced in this matter. And because it desired this reconnection itself, no help can be afforded. Such a connection can easily be effected as long as the physical body is not yet completely cooled, and the connecting strand, which often does not tear until after many weeks, is still in existence. It is unnecessary suffering for the dying man. A rudeness and want of consideration on the part of the bystanders. Therefore, absolute quiet should reign in the chamber of death, a dignity and seriousness corresponding to the importance of the hour. People who cannot should be forcibly removed, even if they be the nearest relatives. End of quote. Just listening to a reading from the Grail message. This is Truth of Life, a deep and incisive program based on the work In the Light of Truth, the Grail message. Copies of the Grail message can be obtained on Grail Land, Eju Hills, Lagos, Grail Centers and Grail Information Centers nationwide, and also at major bookshops. Public lectures are also organized from time to time. We are cordially invited to public lectures based on the Grail message. Date: Sunday, 8th of November 2015. Venue: Alafia Multipurpose Hall, Iyano, Adinyan Bus Stop, Opailu Road, Agbado Station, Lagos. The topic in Yoruba language: Emi ni ona ati otito ati iye. Time of lecture: 4 p.m. And also on Sunday, 15th of November 2015, venue of lecture is Grail Information Center, 22 Ajao Road, off Adeni Jones, Ikeja, Lagos. Topic: The Key to Unsolved Riddles of Life. Time of lecture: 4 p.m. At the lectures, you'll be free to ask any question about life and existence and creation in general. Now we enter the interactive segment of this program. Genuine seekers who wish to interact with us, the telephone numbers to call are 0705-298-0298. Again, 0705-298-0298 or 0805-944-1123. 0805-944-1123. And for your text messages, 0803-315-7493. We have some text messages here. Somebody asked, has Emmanuel been born? Now, to answer that question, the questioner should examine the grail message. You will find the answer therein. Another question is here. After the disintegration, will another set of human beings incarnate on earth? Yes, this earth is only a transient world, just like every celestial body. It undergoes the process of coming into being, developing, reaching the point of harvest, becoming overripe, and then also disintegrating back to the primordial seed, so that it can start yet another cycle of development. Now, at the time the earth undergoes disintegration, any soul or any human being who has not been able to detach itself from the earth and ascend to the spiritual will naturally also undergo disintegration with the earth. But we know that the flow of spirit germs from paradise into the material world for the purpose of development is a continuous one. It does not stop. And so also is it that at the proper hour, the newly formed earth or celestial body that has been designed to host human beings will all also accept new spirit germs so that they too can start their own line of development. All right, Jimmy is calling from Ijayi in Lagos. Hello, Jimmy. Hello, Jimmy. Are you there? Well, okay. Jimmy, try and call the number again, 0705-298-0298 or 0805-944-1123. Well, Jimmy wanted to know about polygamy. Well, you know that polygamy is also a phase in the development of man. The true love exists between a man and a woman. However, we are not all at the same level of spiritual recognition and maturity. So, that's that. Okay, let's take another call, another text message. Is the world going to come to an end, and when? We have already answered that. But again, you know, we all stand in that long prophesied final judgment, whereby those who are quick as well as those who are dead are separated, whereby the sheep is separated from the goats, the spiritually alert separated from the spiritually dead. And it is only after that that those who are able to pass through the judgment will be given another opportunity to experience the millennium. The millennium is a 1,000-year kingdom of peace of God on the kingdom of God on earth. Okay, Edwin is calling from Alagbadu. Hello, Edwin. Hello, good evening.
Yes, sir. I have two questions to ask.
Okay, go on.
It is a common knowledge, most especially in Africa and the Europe, that any baby born at 8 months of pregnancy will be a stillbirth, will be a baby born without life. How far is it true? Or does it have any religious attachment?
Okay, what's your second question? What's your second question?
My second question is that wizards really exist.
Okay.
And if they do exist, how do we, as a Christian, subdue them and be free from their satanic attacks?
Okay. Your first question is about when a child is born, maybe at the pregnancy age of 6 months, it will be a stillbirth. That what is the spiritual significance and so on. Well, you know that at the time the woman becomes pregnant, the soul that is already planning to take possession of the body that is growing in the womb is already near the woman. And as the body grows, ethereal threads are spawned from the soul to the developing body in the womb. And this thread becomes more and more dense. In the middle of pregnancy, which is about 4.5 months, the soul is absorbed into this growing body in the womb. That is when incarnation takes place. That is actually when art life starts. But if the woman is not able to bring this pregnancy to term, of course, the baby is not yet matured at 6 months, and the soul will eventually have to detach itself from the body, and the pregnancy will be aborted. But the reason why it is so, we should check mostly the woman. The woman is that through her delicate intuition who carries the soul from the beyond into this physical world. She's like a boat that is sailing on the sea. If the boat is sound, she'll be able to carry the soul across the sea to this physical world. But if her boat is leaking, then it will sink, and then she will not be able to bring the pregnancy to term. So that is how that is. I will answer that second question after taking this call from Ilorin. Mr. Adebayo is online. Hello, Mr. Adebayo. Hello. Okay, Mr. Adebayo. Sorry, we're having problem with this phone here. Okay, and let's take the second question of Mr. Uh, Edwin from Alagbado, concerning witches and wizards. Yes, there are witches and there are wizards, but they are nothing more than human spirits who are using their spiritual volition in the wrong way. And of course, it is not that you are at the mercy of witches and wizards. Evil cannot approach you unless you call it. So even if the witch or wizard is attacking, it is only if there is something in you that is to be attacked that you can be affected. Because everything will also work according to the law of attraction of homogeneous species. So if somebody is sending dark radiations to you, and these dark radiations come to you, they find something dark also in your own interior environment, it will attach to you and affect you. That is why we must always exclusively do only that which is good in our thoughts and words, so that we are enveloped by a ring of light, then any darkness cannot reach us. Caroline is calling from Kano. Hello, Caroline.
Hello, hello, good evening, sir.
Good evening.
I want to confirm something, sir.
Okay.
That is, in the Holy Scripture, we understand that snake is supposed to be something black. And I don't know why the logo for the green message is snake. The answers I've been getting all this while is not really clear. So that's why I let me call and confirm, sir.
All right. The logo, you will see a snake biting its tail. It's an ancient symbol which stands for eternity, that is, no beginning, no end. The snake biting its tail is an ancient symbol, and you see it forms the letter O. The letter O stands for Omega, and within that letter O, you also see a letter A. So what it means is that the great message is the Alpha and Omega of spiritual knowledge. The Alpha and Omega of spiritual knowledge, the beginning and end of it, that is what it means. There is nothing sinister in it. It is telling you about all that man needs to know to be able to extricate itself from this physical world, to know sufficient so that you will be able to move out of the physical and be able to enter the spiritual. But when you read the great message, you will see all these things there. You never see anything dark inside it. Okay, another question is here. Is purgatory in the interior world? Now, those who introduce the term purgatory, they have a conception that somewhere people must still undergo some form of refinement before they can get back to paradise. And it is true. It is not possible for a man to just leave the physical world and just enter paradise. You have to undergo a lot of refinement. The most gross things that we have to do, that is the guilt that is clinging to us, the heaviest of it is what we drop here in the physical. When we enter the ethereal world, we continue to mature, to redeem our guilt and so on. Because it is only in the material world, that is, in the gross material world and the ethereal world, that you have guilt. And also, that is also where you have atonement and redemption. In the spiritual world, it is not touched by guilt in any way. Okay? Emmanuel is calling from Songwater. Hello, Emmanuel. Sorry, we're having this problem with this phone again. Okay, Emmanuel should try and just send the text so that we can read his question. So, In the ethereal world, there are many planes where people have given the opportunity to also correct their errors and improve themselves. And as man continues to improve himself, his inner spiritual core will break through, his ethereal body becomes light, until finally he's able to shed all that is material, and then you can then enter the spiritual kingdom as a fully mature human spirit. Peter is calling from Abuja. Hello, Peter.
Yes,
Peter.
Sir, Peter calling from Abuja.
Yes.
Yes, I'm asking about the coming of Jesus Christ. And if it was some are saying Jesus Christ is not the Son of God, some are saying he's Son of God. Yes.
So what's your question?
That is my question. I want to know about this. I want to know the truth.
All right, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, many people, especially those who are Muslims, are confused about this term son. Say, after all, the Almighty does not have a wife. How can he have a son? But you must also know, it has been written, when the Lord said, my ways are not your ways. And so, when you use the word, the term son, in the divine kingdom, son means a part of. So it's not like the son in the earthly, where you have a father and a mother, they give birth to a son. It is completely the opposite within the divine. A son in the divine means a part of, that part of the Almighty that can walk independently and yet still become part, is still part of the Creator. So Jesus Christ is the inborn Son of God, that part of the Almighty that stands for love, was sent to the material world to bring the message of love and truth to mankind so that those who follow it can find their way out of the material and enter the spiritual. That is the meaning of son. And when you also say son of man, that is Emmanuel. Emmanuel is the son of man. He is the Holy Spirit. Son of man here means that son of God through whom man came into existence. That is the meaning of that word, son of man. But again, many are confusing the fact that Jesus, they call him Jesus as also Son of Man. Jesus is the Son of God. He is not the Son of Man. Emmanuel is the Son of Man. Emmanuel stands for the Holy Spirit, is the will of the Almighty, is the power, and is also the comforter, the Spirit of truth Jesus promised to send, so that he will now lead you unto all truth. Okay, another caller is here. Ricky is calling from Alagbado. Hello, Ricky.
Hello, sir.
Yes, good day.
Good day, sir. I just want to know if somebody lost the person you love, your relative, someone you love very well, and he died. Does it mean the person spirit sees you, or maybe when he died, does he know what is happening? I don't see anybody.
Okay, when somebody dies, what happens to him? Of course, sooner or later, the one who has died will recognize that he's no more in the flesh. Some will eventually come to know, because he will not be able to do what he used to do while in flesh. But the life in the beyond is no different from life here on earth. Here on that, for example, the material world has a certain level of tangibility, that is, it is hard. And our physical body also has an equal tangibility. That is why our physical body cannot penetrate a wall, for example, because of the mutual impenetrability. But in the ethereal world, it's similar. The substance of the ethereal world and the souls living there have also equal mutual impenetrability. life there is also a life. There are landscapes, there are rivers, there are mountains, trees, animals. So it is just like here also in the physical world. All right. Ayobami is calling from Ifo. Hello, Ayobami.
Hello,
sir. Yeah, go on.
I said, what is the difference between astral traveling?
Between what?
And what is the difference between astral traveling and dream? You know, when people go on astral traveling, they are doing that for a reason.
All right, astral traveling is a very, very dangerous thing. I will advise you, don't try it. Astral traveling is a conscious excursion into the beyond, when somebody will consciously leave his physical body. Through one means or the other, he has learned to teach himself. And then he will wander and go into the beyond on excursion to do whatever he wants to do. But when people do such things, they expose their ethereal body to currents that are dangerous to them. And the final result is that such a person will develop illnesses which he will not find the root cause of it. Such a person may undergo mental instability or insanity, and he can even undergo sudden death. So that is astral traveling is dangerous. Well, in dreams, somebody sleeps naturally. When you sleep, the bond between the body and the soul is losing during sleep. The soul is able to experience. And then that is what you see as dreams. So that is different. Osogbo Agege is calling from Osogbo. Okay. All right, go on.
My question is that, is there hell fire, and then who are going to hell fire?
Yes, there is hell. But this hell is not a divine institution. Hell did not come into being because the Almighty created hell. Hell was not created by the Almighty. It is we human beings who created hell. When we started to disobey the laws of our Creator, as a result, a new section was added to this ethereal world, and it is dark, it is heavy, and it is dense, because it is lacking in purity. And all those who have helped in the production of hell, when they leave the flesh, they will also be drawn into hell to experience the torment of hell. So the dark planes of the ethereal beyond is the so-called hell, and it comes in many grades, depending on the level of the distancing from the will of the Almighty. Right, Musa is calling from Abeokuta. Hello, Musa. Hello, Musa. Good evening. Yes. Can you lower the volume of your radio set, please? What is the question? Repeat your question. Repeat your question, please.
HIV sickness,
yeah? All right, whether there's any spiritual dimension to it. All right. Whether it is HIV or it is cancer or any ailment that we can think of, they are all the consequences of one way or the other, the going against the laws of nature. Yet it is true, one day we must die and something must kill us. But at the moment when we stand, because the vast majority of human beings have strayed away from the will of the Almighty, and because we all stand in judgment, everything that cannot withstand the power, the rays of the judgment will affect the physical body. Now, let's talk a little bit about that judgment so that we can understand why these things are happening. It is already known at the time a child is born at what point in his life the rays of the judgment will touch this soul. And it comes in two parts. The first ray that will touch the soul will revive all that is within the soul. That is why it is said that all that is dead shall be awakened so that it may pass judgment upon itself. This first ray of the divine judgment, when it touches the soul, everything that is within him, that is slumbering within the person, will be given strength, whether it is good or evil, so that it comes to activity. And in the process, anything that is within that body that is not able to withstand the rays of the judgment will, of course, will come into a direct confrontation with the rays of the judgment, bringing forth all kinds of ailments and diseases. And the final rays of the judgment will be the one that will now determine his fate, whether it will pass or it will fail. All right. Tai is calling from Ibafo. Hello, Tai.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Yes.
Is this right for a woman to become a
minister
in the house of God?
A woman to become a woman. Okay, for. All right. A woman, the role of woman is not the same thing as the role of a man. A woman can only, should not stand in that place and also do the work of a man. For example, preaching is a masculine activity. That is why all along the line, if you check the scriptures, all the preachers the Almighty has been saying are men, because preaching is a masculine activity. The nature of the sex, whether man or woman, is a function of the activity. So it's not that man and woman have the same activity. No, their activities are different. That is why their shapes are different. They are differently shaped. But it is because we lack understanding that we are now saying everything is unisex. No. It is the nature of the activity that determines the shape, the form. So, womanly activity is not, part of it is not preaching. It's not executive. It's not the one that now goes out to execute. That is a manly activity. Whereas, womanly activity is more refined. It's more of a delicate activity to decide, while the man does the bringing the decision into activity. So that is how it is. Now, Ola Otegbeye is calling from Alakoko.
Yes.
All right, go on.
Good evening, Doctor.
Good evening.
It's possible for one to know about his past activities on earth, so as to know how to go about the present to correct his former mistakes. I want to know.
Well, that particular knowledge is hidden for us at the time that soul takes up or incarnates into the womb, to the growing fetus in the womb. It is for a reason, and it's for the good of man, because if he were to know who he was and what he did in the past life, in this art life, he will be an onlooker under the delusion that he is making progress. But as it is, we don't know. But in any event, the life itself will bring you to those conditions, to those situations where you are given opportunity to also make amends. We are always given that opportunity. We are always facing such situations. Unfortunately, most times we make the same mistake. So, the foundation of this issue should be this.
we must first of all learn to recognize the laws of our Creator and then strive to live according to that law. Then, irrespective of what we did in the past, then we will always overcome. That is the essential thing. In the course of our life, we will be confronted with those situations. Then we must decide. Unfortunately, we always make the wrong decisions, even though we are helped not to do so. Tabushu is calling from Ikorodu. Hello.
Hello, sir.
Good evening.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Yes, sir. Doctor.
Yes.
I just want to know how man should pray and the effect of repetition of prayers towards fasting. People that fast for days, you know, there will be repetition of prayers.
Okay.
So how can this?
All right, fasting, prayer. Now, we have been told how to pray. Jesus Christ said, when you want to pray, do not be like the Pharisees and the Sadducees who like to stay at the street corner to be noticed by the people. But that's what we do today. We go to the street corner and we say we are doing revival and making noise and shouting and say we are praying. He said, when you want to pray, do not repeat and repeat like the pagans. He has said so. But what do we do today? We pray, we repeat and repeat and repeat like the pagans. He said, when you want to pray, go to the corner of your room and in the quietness of the room. You see, prayer requires deep concentration, which you get when you are in a quiet place. It requires purity of heart. For example, why do we need to repeat and repeat? Does a child run to his father asking for seven things at the same time? He will only ask for that which is at the top of his heart. So that is also how we should approach our Creator. We ask only for that which truly, truly worries us, not for so many things at the same time. Okay, we have come to the end of today's transmission. Let us remind our listeners, public lectures coming up in the month of November. This Sunday, 8th of November 2015, that's next Sunday. Venue, Alafia Multipurpose Hall, Iyana Adiyan Bus Stop, Opelu Road, Agbado Station, Lagos. The topic is in Yoruba language. Emi ni ona ati otito ati iye. Time, 4 p.m. Then on Sunday, 15th November 2015, venue of lecture, Grail Information Center, 22 Ajao Road, off Adeni Jones, Ikeja, Lagos. Topic, the key to unsolved riddles of life. Time of lecture, 4 p.m. At the lectures, you will be free to ask any question about life and existence. And for those who may still wish to interact with us, after this program, our telephone numbers 0705-298-0298 or 0803-315-7493. Our website, www.truthofliferadio.com. Email info@truthofliferadio.com. With my words, I lead to God and also to Jesus. However, in a more vital way than has been known in the past, and not as people have framed it through their propensity for spiritual comfort. Words of Abrushin, author of The Great Message. And that's it tonight. Until we meet next Sunday, I'm Dr. Tunde Agbola, wishing you good evening.